right, we're going to call to order, and I'm going to start with a little bad news. You're stuck with me chairing this meeting today, and Randy Howard, yes, here we go again. So bear with me, and glad everybody could be here except for our Chairman Howard, and we'll go ahead and stand for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll start with the roll call.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Freckleton.
Here.
Trustee Howard is absent. Trustee Quiatek.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Levi.
Here.
Do we have public participation?
We do not.
All right. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that need to be removed from the consent agenda? All right. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? It stands approved. Okay, so in your materials, you have some information-only items. You have the agreements at page 61, also surplus donations on page 66. Lots of goods going out there, but anyway, hopefully somebody's a good beneficiary. And now I'll turn it over to Dr. Labasso.
Great. Well, thank you. Well, since August, we've had a few weather issues to delay this meeting, so it's good to finally get together. But since then, we kicked off the fall semester with the 8%+ increase in enrollment. So that's really nice to see. Our enrollment is doing well. On September 3rd, we were chosen by the governor's office to do a press conference regarding our nursing program. So kudos to all the nursing faculty that do such a great job, and we stand out in the state because of that program, and is why we were chosen. So it was great to have the governor here to recognize us and our participation in the LINE program. And thanks again to Halifax and our and Advent Health that partner with us on those LINE grants. We had a meeting with the City Commission regarding White Street rezoning, and it was approved unanimously. So happy to report that. And the Red Cross building, as we speak, is coming down. So that is in the works, and as you recall, that will be home of a new all-purpose facility for the students. We hosted the Lodging and Hospitality Association meeting, as we always do, which is great. And we had a nice fundraiser for former trustee Bob Davis, which was a success. And before I forget, too, tomorrow night, Boots and Bling Gala. So, hope to see you all there. It should be a great event. And the turnout there, and I hear there'll be some lager on tap. Is that right there, Chef Costa, out of our brew pub? So it'll be a good event. As I mentioned, we had the few hurricane issues, and kudos to the whole team, Alan Masters over there, and facilities, and Lance, and it's campus safety kept us apprised all along, and a lot of work to get open on Monday, which we were able to open that Monday. So good work on that behalf. Had a good meeting with UCF regarding the new building that they're proposing. So they, we talked about the site and some things in there, and there's definitely some interest in us utilizing some of that space. So that is moving forward. And we had a successful homecoming, and we had our, it seems to be the season of accreditation. We had our ABED, and that's our engineering program, IT site visit, which was a success. We had our physical therapy assistant program meeting. It was good. There's a couple things that they may note us on that we'll have to address. We haven't gotten that report yet, but all in all was good. And then we were part of the announcement by the CEO Business Alliance and Team Volusia regarding Aura.
No, Aero.
Aero. Yeah. And there's another tagline to it, but
Aura Aero.
Aura Aero.
Yeah.
This is a French company who builds hybrid planes. And this is part of the job that's kind of neat that I get to do is I was called in, you know, three different occasions to meet with them to show them our facilities and talk about the talent we can produce for them, as well as obviously Embry-Riddle. And but in addition to the engineers they're going to need from Riddle, they're going to need the engineer techs, the CNC machinists, the so they really said this Daytona State was a big part of why they chose to move their business here, which is going to be they have their headquarters and then a manufacturing plant. It's going to be over 1,000 jobs that will pay well above the median wage here in Volusia County. So yeah, 75,000 plus. So it was really exciting to be part of that. I mean, it's been in the works for a while. I probably started meeting with them probably a year ago. So it's good to see that come to fruition there. And then before we move on to my item, I'd like to also take this time. We talk from time to time about our athletic program. So, the year kind of wrapped up last year. We had a lot of success. So I thought I'd highlight some of the successes we have here and some of the hardware that goes with that. If you ever wanted to hoist a national championship trophy, Randy, here you go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start today by recognizing a few of our athletic teams for their performance in the 23-24 academic year, both in the classroom and their respective playing arenas. Each year, the Florida College System Activity Association recognizes two male and two female teams from the state colleges for the highest team GPA during the academic year. I am pleased to say that the Falcons won 3 of the 4 awards. So I'm going to start off with the baseball team. So Tim Tuma, can you come up and stand while I talk about your team here a little bit? Tim is our head coach for the men's baseball team. Tim, how long have you been here now?
25th year.
25th year. So he's done a great job. Runs an excellent program. So the men's baseball team won the Male Academic Team of the Year award for teams with rosters more than 10. Their team GPA was an impressive 3.85 GPA. They also finished 2nd in the NJCAA Academic Team of the Year standings amongst all baseball teams in the country. So congratulations to Tim, his team, assistant coach Cam, for another incredible year. So Tim, come on up and accept this plaque here that he got from the association. So.
Thank you.
All right. So the next recipient was the women's softball team, who won the Female Academic Team of the Year award for teams of rosters 10 or greater. Their team GPA was an outstanding 3.81. In addition, they won the NJCAA Academic Team of the Year award for the highest team GPA among all softball teams in the country. Congratulations to Coach Ben Greer and their team for their outstanding accomplishments, and their assistant coach, Mackenzie Enev. So, Ben, can you come on up and receive your plaque? So congratulations to Ben.
Now, Ben's only been here, started my third year.
So in 3 years. He's a national champ in academics, so there you go.
All right, on 3, 1, 2, 3, perfect.
All right. So the Falcons' brand new esports program, an esports coordinator, Sebastian Morales, did not waste any time establishing a name for the program. In their first semester participating in the NJCAAE competition, they won a national championship in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. We are excited to see what's to come for this program, and we congratulate Sebastian and the esports team for this amazing accomplishment. So Sebastian, come on up and get the big one here.
We have to do this. Don't think like this one. Like that. Look like that.
Yeah, we sure can.
Yeah. Hold it up there. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, the women's golf team. The women's golf team won the Female Academic Team of the Year Award for the team roster with less than 10 or less participants. Their team GPA was a tremendous 3.82. They finished third in the NJCA Academic Team of the Year standings among all women golf teams in the country. However, this is not the only great accomplishment for this team this year. They also won the NJCAA Division I National Championship. What makes this 11th National Championship of the Falcons even more special is this team was made up of student athletes who are all from the state of Florida. The majority of the teams they beat rely heavily on international competition at this level. So congratulations to Coach Laura Brown and the team for another academic, another incredible year. So, Coach Laura, and why don't you come up and bring your players with you. These are two of the players from the winning team, correct? All right, come on up. Yeah, Bobby, here's your academic plaque.
Ooh. And here's the Mac Daddy.
Right. All right. Yeah, you guys hold that there. All right.
So y'all center yourselves this way.
Okay. This way. Yeah.
All right. On three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Perfect.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good job.
Hey,
you got it.
And also, in recognition of the women's golf team and their tremendous success, we got you all a golf shirt that commemorates their 11th national championship. If they don't quite fit.
I'm playing in the tournament tomorrow. I mean, Saturday, I'm going to be wearing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Nice shirts. If they don't fit, just let us know because, you know, it's different brands run different sizes, and then we'll get you another one. So
that's great.
So anyway, so, and Will Dunn, let's congratulate Will Dunn, too, for his leadership there. Will's been a great job leading this. As you can see, you know, we hold the academic standard as high as the competition on our respective fields, and you all have done a great job. So really proud to be in this position to support you guys. So thank you. All right.
Introduce
Lou. Oh, and then, yes, I'd like to introduce Lou Marino. Lou, are you here?
There he is.
There he is. So Lou Marino is our new Director of Campus Safety. Lou comes to us from the Volusia County Sheriff's Department. Where he served 30 plus years there, and short stint in Broward in his earlier days. So welcome Lou, and you know, we're looking forward to having him on the team. Okay, so I do have an approval item for the board. As we've talked about, you know, several times, we're at that stage now where we need to begin the process to get another accrediting agency for the college. So with that, we'll need an approval to request a change in primary accreditation agencies.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so it's approved.
Very good. And the other item I have is, did we hand those out?
No, I don't have them out yet.
Okay. So we did send an email out, but you might not have seen it. We are putting together our legislative priorities. So this is still in draft form. So we probably will not go with all of these because it's a lot. I kind of asked for more, and then we will continue to whittle them down. We'll work with our our lobbyists to really get a handle on where they think we should go with these. So, but if you take a look at them for a moment, and we never vote on this, we just kind of get a consensus that it looks good, and we will move forward. But the first four are our PICO projects. Probably won't go with all four. We might only go with the first three. I can tell you that, but that gives you an idea of what we have in the pipeline. And then 5 through 8 are different requests that have percolated up through our departments. And then 9 is just to, on our brochure, we'll support UCF's initiative, because they're going to be seeking the remainder of that funding for the building. So we're just going to help when we're out there in Tallahassee to support that project. So if it looks okay, and
any questions or comments? Looks good.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, with that concludes my report.
Quick question.
Yes.
I know the UCF building. Is there a plan to repurpose the current old UCF building?
They just put in how much money? $9 million?
$9 million.
Yeah.
$9 million.
So they just put $9 million into the existing facility. So it's up to speed, and we're using like 70% of it. So good for us. We've moved some programs as they've moved out. So they're still in the programming stages of how, you know, what exactly is going to go in there. And you know, we gave them some feedback that where we think we might be able to help populate the building as well. So it'll be a collaborative effort between both colleges.
Yeah.
Anything else before we move on to finance? Marty, take it away.
Good afternoon. Not easy to follow up after national championships and all academic teams, so I'll do my best to make these financials equally exciting.
I didn't see a trophy here for you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll
come up with something.
All right. After two board cancellations, our date is a little outdated, but the reports as of August 31st, bear that in mind as we go through the numbers here. So jumping right in, this is the first financial report of this fiscal year. You know, we always take the month of July, the first board meeting, as we're still closing out the prior fiscal year. So this is the first one of the fiscal year. So as you can see, we've now collected $13.1 million, or 45% of our tuition and fee revenue. We've collected $9.8 million, or 15% of our state revenues, $1.6 million, or 23% of our other revenue sources, and $1.8 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers through August 31st. So in total, the college has now collected $26.3 million, or 25% of our operational budget of $104.5 million. Taking a look at the expenditures, we've now expended $9 million, or 12% of our personnel budget through the first 2 months of the fiscal year. We've obligated $14.6 million, or 61% of our current expense budget. That might look a little bit high compared to the others, but you'll see that the primary driver there is the encumbrances. As we start the fiscal year, a lot of the departments open purchase orders. Many of them are blanket purchase orders, so they'll open them for the full PO amounts, and that's what's captured in the $8.1 million of encumbrances. The remainder is true expenditures of $6.5 million. We've obligated $434,000 of our capital outlay budget. The breakdown is just beneath there, $153,000 of true expenditures, and the remaining $281,000 encumbered to date. So through August 31st, we've now got $24 million obligated, and that's 23% of the overall budget. And if you peel back the encumbrances, the expenditures to date are $15.6 million, or 15% of that overall budget. So looking good, you know, on the revenue side, we've collected more, you know, through the first 2 months than you, if you looked at the percentage, we're about 16.7% of the way through the fiscal year. And then on the expenditure side, we're a little under on the spending side. So both good ways to be at this point in time. But it's still early, but looking good. All right, jumping into our carryforward funds. You know, we show this slide every fiscal year. You know, this is how we ended the last fiscal year. So that's why we started with 6/30/24. We had a fund balance of $25,512,419. A little later, I'll have a separate spending plan that I'll be presenting to the board that goes into this a little further. And that number you'll see is a little bit less than the $25 million. And the reason is they subtract out, for the spending report purposes, the encumbrances and rollover amounts, that $739,000 you see further down. Fourth bullet down is subtracted from the 25. So really the spending report starts at a $24.7 million number versus the 25.5 we have on this slide. Just in case anybody was ticking in time the two reports, that's how you get there. Following this down, we have of that $25.5 million, we're required to have a 5% state required reserve. That is just over $6 million there on the second bullet. We also have a board designated reserve in Fund 1. That's the $1.6 million roughly. And then all the remainder, the $17.1 million, is unallocated Fund 1 reserves. And primarily what we need to talk about in our spending report, which we'll see a little bit later. And then I just alluded to the $739,000. Those are rollover purchase orders and encumbrances that rolled over from the last fiscal year into the current year. So the net projected fund balance through August 31st, the date of this report, is just shy of $21 million. The pie chart, being the first time I'm showing that this fiscal year, just delineates how much of the total fund balance each category makes up. For instance, the encumbrances makes up 3% of the overall $25 million. The 5% reserve is 24% of the overall. Board designated and makes up 6%, and then the remaining 67% is the larger unallocated reserve. Okay, taking a look at our budget versus actual year over year this year compared to last year at this point in time, you'll see that we're very consistent, as we typically are, with revenue collections. We collected 25% of our revenues through August 31st. Last year at this point in time, we collected 24% of our revenue, so right on track. Right. This is a familiar slide, shows our three-year tuition and fee analysis, July through August 31st, again, just 2 months in. And as Dr. Labasta said, we're looking good from a tuition standpoint. Through August 31st, I had that we were up, from a revenue standpoint, 7.2%. Going back to our enrollment reports for fee paying at that date, right at 7.2%, so they lined up perfectly. But as of today, I took a look at the reports and we're right at that about 8%, hovering 8% or so. So great position for the fall semester. If you recall, we budgeted a 3% increase in our budget based on prior year actuals. So to come out of the gate this fiscal year at an 8% fall semester, we're in a solid position. Keep in mind, 3% over the total fiscal year, so we'll see what the spring and summer brings, but this is a great sign that things are turning around, as we've seen the last year or so, and pointing in the right direction. So we're thrilled to see these numbers. Okay, taking a look at the expenditure budget to actual. Again, this is year compared to last year, this year, year over year. We've collected 12 or expended 12% of our personnel budget, 12% also last year. We had obligated 61% this year of our current expense budget versus 58% last year. And then the only category that's a little off is capital outlay. We've obligated only 8% this year versus 25% last year. The primary, you'll see those numbers are a lot larger this year. Also, capital outlay budget is $5.3 million. On the bottom there versus $2.7 million roughly last year. And this year, you'll recall, we got a couple of big special projects that were state funded. The firefighting training program, breathing apparatus equipment. We had auto services tech program equipment, and then the big one for $1.5 million was the EMS training equipment. So those are large, in total $2.6 million and they're are in Fund One in that capital outlay budget, and we're just getting through August 31st. We're just kind of getting those orders, you know, situated, working with the departments, and those will soon be encumbered, and we'll start ordering that equipment. So, nothing to panic about. We'll get that money spent, and we're thrilled to have it. All right, shifting over to Fund Seven. You'll recall the slides got a lot going on, but it essentially shows all the major funding sources in Fund Seven and the activity throughout the fiscal year. So 2 months in, you can see all the little pieces, and a good summary of that slide is the next one. So we had a beginning where we ended last year and started this year is 49.3 million roughly of beginning fund balance in Fund Seven. We now have revenue received to date of just under 5.2 million. And then we've now obligated 17.8 million of that overall, of those funds. And of that number, 12.8 million in actual expenditures, and just roughly 5 million still encumbered with open purchase orders. So as of the date of this report, again, August 31st, brings us to a fund balance of about 36.6 million. And of that 36, we got about 20.3 million that's committed, and the remaining 16.2 is uncommitted. Okay. And moving right along, okay, this shows all of our active projects, the major active projects. Again, major projects is defined as a project $250,000 or above. A lot of these were carryovers from last year, but we also have blended in some brand new ones that just got off the that we just got started this year. So just running down the list of 18 is number one, some multi-purpose field that Dr. Lovasso talked about. We expect that to be complete by the end of this fiscal year. The Land Firearms Training Center coming along nicely. If you've been out to that campus, we're on track. Should have it complete by December of this year, just a couple months away. Our cybersecurity facilities and equipment, that was a state funding project that is more or less wrapped up. I think we had some leftover funds, so it's still on the list here, and we hope to use up the remainder of those funds, and then we'll get it knocked off in a close project. Security cameras and DVR replacement. If you recall, 7 years ago, we did a multi-year funding initiative that the board approved, $100,000 per year. This is year seven of that plan. So it's up here and scheduled to be wrapped up in January 2025. The security camera and DVR replacement was the one I was just alluding to. It was a seven-year plan, $100,000 per year that will wrap up this year. Next is the Deltona Welding Lab. That's also in progress, coming along very well. We'll be ready for spring semester, and as you see, the January completion date. FPC Amphitheater Road Widening and Lighting Project coming along nicely as well.
Can we make sure, let's reiterate that, April of 25. Got that, Alan? There's an event, the Gary Lubai project. There's an event in May that we have to.
Yeah, we're going to stop, a little bit stopped over, and we chatted about that.
Okay.
We should be ready by May. We'll call it April.
Gary never asks me about that project. Gary never asks about it.
So we'll keep a close eye on that one. The Land Tactical Training Pavilion.
If not, I'll be out there, hammering away to get that thing done.
Yeah, I did see Tom drilling yesterday. Yeah. I had video of it.
All hands on deck. Okay, we're in the Land Campus Tactical Training Pavilion, PT track and driving pad. Also in progress. We're looking at a February 2025 completion date. We have this building, Weatherall Center balcony roof phase two. That's essentially complete. That was the one with all the pavers on the third and fourth floor. We're just wrapping up some final billing on those projects, and it'll come off the list here shortly. So we got a November date on that. Chiller plant upgrades in the Land, slated for April 2025. Elevator upgrades on all campuses. You'll recall we did like a 3-year plan on that particular initiative. And that takes us through August of 2026. Building 300 Green Center HVAC replacement is slated to be complete by the end of this fiscal year. Building 330 Arts and Sciences Hall remodel has an April 2025 projected. We'll do our best on that. That may be pushed out a little bit. Building 410 Schildecker Sciences Hall roof restoration and building envelope essentially done. And again, just some final billing and I think a final payment of retainage may come to this board at the next scheduled meeting. So we're ready to clear that one off the list. This is so large, we got a second page. High voltage upgrade, phase two project. Internally, we're actually doing a little flipping on the funding. This was one of the critical the deferred maintenance projects. You'll remember we got the 13 plus million for deferred maintenance. This one is moving, no fault of our own, extremely slow due to the nature of what it is, working with FPL and trying to get things going on their end, and if anybody knows, that can be a struggle sometimes. FPL also has their hands full after two big hurricanes. So we're going to flip that one over to from local funding and reallocate that 1.5 million of federal funds to one of the other federal projects, which most likely I think we decided on the Building 330 Arts and Sciences project, which is underfunded. So we can easily take care of that. Those funds. The next one is New Smyrna Building 2 roof restoration, December 2024, expected completion. Building 310 Lemran Athletic Center pool equipment upgrades. That one I know is in progress, getting the equipment ordered. We'll hopefully have it all here and installed by the end of the fiscal year. Schildecker Science Hall air handler unit, AHQ replacement, the end of this fiscal year. And last but not least is the parking lot repairs and resurfacing. I think you've probably noticed a lot of that coming into the college. Looks great, the new resurfacing that was done here and at the ATC. So again, this one, just finalizing the purchase orders, invoices, and getting it closed out. But it'll fall off the list here in a couple months. And that concludes that part of the presentation, unless we have any questions or comments from the board.
Any questions or comments?
Okay. Next item is my informational item. Bringing to you each board meeting. These are all payments over $50,000 that were done in the month of August. I have reviewed the list. Nothing unusual comes to mind here. All standard type checks and payments. As I mentioned, this is the college spending plan, reserve spending plan, carry forward spending plan. It's referred to a number of different things, but a few years back, the state put this into statute where every college is required to do the spending plan. This accounts for any remaining reserves you have on hand at the end of the fiscal year and lets them know what your plan is to spend those reserves. We fall into the group of less than 15,000 FTE, so we have to account for anything above and beyond the 5%. If you're a larger institution, that 5% goes up to 7%, and you gotta talk about the excess of the 7%. So looking at ours, you can see there's the 24.7 million. Again, I showed you 25 plus million, but less the encumbrances comes exactly to this amount. And then you take out the $6 million, 5% state required reserve, and we have $18,766,506 that we need to provide a spending plan for. And here it is. So the first several items are actually three items that are included each year as part of our college budget, so you've already seen these. We use fund balance. Naturally, on the college equipment refresh, the $650,000. TV station direct support, we do a transfer of $300,000. And the grant matching funds, any grants that require college match, we do that, and that was $500,000 this fiscal year. The new item that we have on here is our state group insurance. for the first 7 month premium. As you know, the funding was vetoed, but we're happy to be in the plan. Open enrollment is going as we speak, so the state asked each of the colleges to come up with an estimate for what is that going to cost the colleges. So our ballpark at the time was just this number, 4.7 million and some change. So we thought, and many others are doing it too, what better way than put it on our spending plan? That's exactly where we will be taking it from. So that item is on here. Next item is one that's coming, I'm presenting to you right after this. It's $3.5 million for generators and deferred maintenance. So we're gonna ask for a transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 7. But you'll recall also last budget season during the legislative session, we had an item for three of our top generators that we wanted replaced. Unfortunately, it got vetoed last minute. The amount was $1.3 million, I think. We've now bumped it up to our top five generators. No better time than to talk about generators, right, as we see what's come through our path here recently. So we're really trying to beef up the infrastructure, get ourselves in a better situation. So about $1.75 million of that $3.5 million is going to be dedicated to the generators, the top five that I'm speaking of. So we'll get those on order the minute hopefully we get these approved. They're a little bit backlogged. It takes about a year from your order time to get the lead time to get them in. Our hopes is to get purchase orders in place and get that process started. We have quotes for, I think, all but one, and the other one should be here shortly. And then the final item is almost like a catch-all. I put it on here each year. It's essentially a contingency plan. If we were to have a natural disaster, hurricane, anything, $9 million might look like a lot, but we know it doesn't go very far when we're talking. It's only 3.5% of our facility cost of all our campuses. Or another way a lot of us look at it is this GFOA recommended 2 months reserves. How far from a daily cash standpoint are you? This would only be 34 days when you do that calculation, so we're not even close to the 60 to 90 that they recommend. So I'll need board action on the spending plan unless there's any questions.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion or questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved.
Thank you. And my last item is the one I kind of alluded to in the spending plan, and this is a budget transfer request from Fund 1 to Fund 7 for $3.5 million. As you saw, we ended the year in a pretty good shape, maybe even a little better than we anticipated. So $3.5 million would go towards the five generators. We also had a that we didn't know during the time of the budget, just came up this fiscal year. Our aquatic center HVAC gave out on us, and we're gonna have to replace that HVAC. And that's I don't know if we have the quote in just yet, but we know that's a $500,000 plus easy type item. So those would be the two that we will put right into play, the generators and the HVAC. Any remaining funds would go right into our board designated pot used for deferred maintenance like we routinely do. So with that, we'd like to recommend that the board approve the transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 7.
Is there a motion to approve the transfer of funds?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Great job, as usual. And we'll go to facilities.
Good afternoon. So short agenda for us today. We only have three items and all administrative items. Back in June, we came to the board to present the capital improvement plan. And two items on there consisted of the relocation of welding to the ATC building, as well as relocating the airframe and power plant from New Smyrna back to Daytona Beach. In order to do that, we have to complete a spot survey with the Department of Education and get their approval to move those programs. So attachment number 16 is we are recommending that the board approve the spot survey for these two items.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved.
Attachment 17, going back to the airframe mechanic and air power plant program. We advertised for architect and design services for this building. We had six companies that or firms that submitted. We interviewed and narrowed those six down to three, which are on the second page. We're recommending that the board approve these three firms for us to negotiate the design of this building.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Approved.
Item 18, same story. We are moving forward with the redesign of the Building 8 Emergency Services Training Center in DeLand. We only had three submittals for this building, so we interviewed all three and moved all three forward, and we rank them accordingly. We're recommending that the board approve all three of these design firms for negotiation in the ranking order.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved.
Thank you.
All right, academic affairs.
Good afternoon. I figured I was going to have to pull that down. I was waiting to see. So we have four items coming forward from academic affairs this afternoon for your consideration and approval. The State Board of Education has put together an option for students who need to take either start at a lower level math to work their way all the way through for a program to get an AA before they transfer to a university, or perhaps there are some prerequisite courses for a program they might be interested in at a university. The way that the financial aid packages are put together, they cap at 60 credits, and so in an effort to offer students an opportunity to be fully funded through their entire AA program, we have authorization now to offer specialized AA transfer degrees. We have three that we're bringing forward to you today that extend beyond 60 credits. If you looked at all the fine print, and I'm sure you read all of this quite thoroughly, you'll notice with business we have two options, and it depends on the calc sequence that the students would choose. And so this is to authorize the students for the specialized AA transfer degree for 60 credits, which you might scratch your head and say, does the AA already do that? But this is a specialized one specifically for transfer, or for 68 credits, again, depending on the math sequence that they choose in that particular program. For health sciences, if you have students that are interested in a traditional bachelor's in nursing, or you have someone who might be interested in attending pharmacy school, or one of the other professional health sciences programs, we now have an opportunity for them to get all of their prerequisite courses in 71 credits and have it be funded. And then we finally have the biomedical sciences or biology that is also put together for 78 credits, so students can get all of those courses that they need for those for transfer. The first step in having all of this approved, of course, is to get your approval before we take this forward so that we can have students fully funded for federal financial aid. If there are no questions, that's attachments 19 through 21.
Is there a motion to approve these major curriculum revisions?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved.
I'll just comment that this is actually a big deal. We see quite a few students that, you know, will get their AA degree and then still need a few classes, prerequisite classes at the university. And if they're on financial aid, they get no aid. So they have to either get in debt, you know, take a loan or pay out of pocket. And it never made sense, and finally good senses came to be, and now students will have the opportunity to take exactly what they need. So when they go to the university, they're in the program, and they're not having to take classes on their own dime or take loans out. So this was something that made a lot of sense and really helps students out.
It's a great deal.
Very pleased. And then we have one other item for academic affairs. You all may recall that earlier this year you approved the general education package that Daytona State is offering. And we are in the process of receiving feedback from the state about our general education package. They have a couple of items that we may or may not have on our list of things to address. We do not have the full report yet, but we should have that very soon because they are asking to have any adjustments that we might need to make by the end of this month, which is just next week. So hopefully we'll have that very soon. So this item is for you to authorize us to go ahead and make adjustments as required by the state once we receive the feedback.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. There was a silent pause there for a moment. I was concerned.
I wish you'd explain more.
Yeah. All right. Any discussion or objection? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Stands approved.
Thank you. That concludes academic affairs report.
All right. Time for our constituent heads, and
yes,
let's kick it off.
All right, so leading off is our student government president, Natasha Powell, who I saw in the quad busy today prepping for a fall festival.
Give us lots of fun.
Yes.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I cannot believe we're already halfway through the semester. The SGA has had so many exciting things that we've done the past couple months. I'm very excited to share with you what we've gotten up to. So to kick off the school semester, we've had a lot of welcome back events at the Daytona Beach campus and all of our regional campuses. It was a wonderful opportunity to welcome students back on campus and get them connected with several resources that we offer. We gave out pizza, popcorn, cotton candy, and we even had the opportunity to design our own t-shirts, which was a lot of fun. We had our annual Club Rush, and as you can see, we had a great turnout for this event with many, many clubs participating. And again, this was a wonderful opportunity for students to get connected and plugged into the different communities Daytona State College offers. So great to see students getting super involved there. We had our annual Constitution Day. This was a collaboration between the Pre-Law Society and SGA, and it was an open discussion led by Professor Nathan Kotas. And I really enjoyed learning more about the Constitution and how it applies to our everyday lives. And I'm very convinced that America is the greatest country in the world now. We had a workshop day in preparation for the homecoming ball. SGA and the dance club worked together to assemble some of our decorations and centerpieces for the tables. So it was a great time just preparing for the homecoming festivities. And we also had the opportunity to serve at the Falcon Hope Center Resource Fair. We were able to give out popcorn and snow cones, and it's just a great opportunity for us to connect with the college community and to align with the Hope Center and the amazing resources they offer and the amazing job that they're doing. Kicking off the homecoming week festivities, we had a s'mores and movie night. And this had a great turnout again. So many students showed up. The weather was amazing. Roasted lots of marshmallows, volleyball, watched Twister the movie, which was a hit as well. So it was a great event, great turnout, and a great start to the homecoming festivities. The next day we had our homecoming ball, which, like I mentioned earlier, was a collaboration between SGA and the dance club. We had snacks and drinks and a DJ. And Freddie and Franny even made a special guest appearance. So we had so much fun dancing the night away. And to close out our homecoming events, we participated in the tailgate party. And again, so much fun handing out cotton candy and snow cones and just playing games with all the people coming to visit. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful event seeing all the families coming out to this one. The following week, in response to the devastation of Hurricane Helene, SGA participated in a campus-wide food and supply donation and food drive. And I was honestly so blown away at the response to this and the generosity of our school, of our students, staff, and faculty, and how they really came together to make this food and supply drive such a success. I think it's a real testament to the value and character of our Daytona State College people. And so I was really blown away. We packed up 57 boxes to be sent to St. Petersburg College. So it was absolutely amazing. And we are currently doing another food and supply drive in response to Hurricane Milton. So the items that we're seeking donations for are non-perishable food items, personal hygiene and toiletry, cleaning supplies, and gift cards for Walmart and local grocery stores. We had the launch to our intramural sports, starting with the flag football, and we had a lot of SGA members volunteering for different intramural events, including the All-Star game during homecoming. And some of our own SGA people were also the referees for the homecoming pickleball tournament. So it was a lot of fun. It's been a great success, our intramural sports over the fall A term, with over 100 students and staff participating. So we're so excited for the intramural sports at Daytona State. Here's some more of the fun that we had. And lastly, our upcoming events. Next week, Wednesday the 30th, we have Hispanic Heritage Day. And we actually just had our Falcon Fall Fest today. We had so much fun decorating pumpkins and wind chimes and eating lots of pie and funnel cakes. It's a lot of fun. And then December 4th, we have our annual tree lighting and ping pong tournament for our winter celebration. So we're really excited for that. So we've had a lot of great events and activities that have happened the past couple months, and we're looking forward to finishing the semester out strong. So that's all I have for.
Great. Thank you, Natasha, for the report. And it was amazing. We rallied together as a system, and we were able to help out St. Pete College. And then I got a call from Florida State College Jacksonville when we were hit, and they sent us 10 boxes of stuff in addition to what we've been collecting for our own staff. We've had over probably 130 plus individuals reach out that have had been affected by the storm, so we've been able to have food, gift cards, and things like that. So and I think the goal is, Kristen, right, the auction that we will do tomorrow night at the gala, those proceeds will go to help additional students and staff that might be affected by the storm. So great. Well, thank you. And moving on to Administrator's Council, Anaris Inman.
He's not here today. He gave me...
Okay. John, then you're up. John Penny, you're going to do career employees and admin.
For Anaris, in lieu of their October meeting, the Admin Council will be participating in the Trunk or Treat event hosted by the Fine Group Center and the Campus Program. They did this last year, had a good time. It was great to get out there and just fellowship among each other and with all the families that are coming through. The CEA, we've moved our November meeting to December 5th, and we will draw the winners of the baskets. We'll raffle off during the winter staff meal celebration. We'll be able to pick those winners on December 5th. We'll also have Dr. Weems there to share about her entrepreneurial activities in her department. And the leadership of the Administrators Council, Professional Council, and the CEA are still working hard to bring us all together under one umbrella to get rid of the divisions between us that way and build some more fellowship between the different groups and work together better as a whole. To reach more students with all our efforts that we do. We have working bylaws that we've shared with our groups, and still trying to hammer out all the details that have to change and combine for that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And to add to, I know admin council, I think, takes lead all, I think all the councils help, but the 5K this year was the best at homecoming that we've ever had. I think about a little bit over 150 people participated in the 5K. So maybe next year we have some board members join me. I do the 5K.
Did you beat your time from last year?
I don't really keep track of my time because I walk 90% of it and you know, jog in the last 100 yards, but but I finish. But it's a great event, you know, and I was just amazed at how many people gathered for that 5K this year. It was really nice to see. So the homecoming continues to grow, and kudos to everybody that participates with that. And one of my walking partners didn't show this year. Oh, Paul Capps, you're up, faculty senate. There's Paul.
Oh,
wow.
Lots of love there, Paul.
We missed you.
Give him a test, Paul.
If it's a math, I'll be in trouble.
Faculty senate has two items in the pipeline at the moment. Last month, we passed a motion to have a small committee of faculty members take a look at our simple syllabus. Just to remind you, a couple years ago, when the legislature passed a law that said we have to have our syllabi for all of our courses outward facing so that prospective students and future students can take a look at those syllabi, we shifted to something called simple syllabus. And as you know, we adopted it, it went well. It's a very good, very functional document. But like all things, after you've used it a couple of years, it's like, couldn't we make some improvements here? So this committee is looking at maybe rearranging some of the sections, maybe a slightly more logical order. Also what's called brightening the language, which you know, several of the faculty members picked up in IAQ. The idea being, you know, for years and years, if you read my syllabus from 10 years ago, it talks about all the terrible things that will happen to you if you fail to do this, and if you fail to do that, and if you fail to do the other, as opposed to translating that, you know, transitioning that language to, these are all the good things that will happen if you do this, do this, do the other. So that's part of, so we approved a motion for faculty to look at it. We'll get a chance to look at it, I think, briefly in our December meeting, which will be the first Tuesday of the month as always, our November meeting, first Tuesday of the month. And then at that point, it will be presented to senior staff for their approval. Second item is we're looking at revamping the procedures for what happens when we have issues with academic integrity. In English, what do we do when a professor thinks a student is cheating? The procedure with which we've been doing that for a long time is a little awkward, kind of goes in circles. So we're kind of looking at revamping that, streamlining that. Still gives the student an opportunity to say, no, I wasn't cheating, here's what's happened. It can be adjudicated by you know, we're looking at a three-member committee. And then kind of move forward there and decide what the consequences for those actions would or wouldn't be, again, depending on the adjudication. Again, this is not something we do ourselves. The motion will be brought to us with a proposal in the November meeting. If we pass it, then it will again go to Dr. Lasso and senior staff for final approval. That is our report for this month. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. And for professional counsel, we have Ryan Buckaloo.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm speaking on behalf of April, she is the new president of the professional council, and she's getting up to speed with her responsibilities and looks forward to serving in college. And she wanted to invite everybody. There is a Veterans Club event. It's a breast cancer awareness event tomorrow in front of the Student Center from 11 to 1.
Congratulations, April, and hope you get your voice back soon. That concludes the constituent reports.
All right. Great reports, great meeting. And I want to just cover a couple of things. You know, obviously with the storms, lots of lives being juggled, and there are people in great distress. We were not in distress, thanks to Lynn. And I can't imagine how difficult it was rescheduling, not once, but twice, to get us here today. So thank you for all your perseverance in getting us here and working through that. And, you know, looking at Helene and Milton and the great response, I think, you know, starting with our governor and all the way down to the administration here at Daytona State College, kudos. You know, these are not to be taken lightly, and I think everybody knows that. And we still have a lot of people in distress, and I'm glad we mentioned that, and I'm super happy that to hear that the auction will be devoted to people in distress, students and administration and faculty here in our community at Daytona State College. So important that we kind of lock arms and take care, because as you know, as we know, driving around the area, you'll see some folks with branches and trees and so forth, and then another block you see furniture, bedding, and you know, and you just can't imagine that kind of distress. It's no fun to go through, having gone through it 20 years ago with Hurricane Frances. And so glad to see that response. It really, it's going to mean a lot. The last point I want to make on that is don't let your guard down. November 30th is the official end of hurricane season. And as we look out there in the Gulf, we've got things brewing still. So not a time to let our guard down and assume that it's over. So let's keep our eye on the tropics. And with that, I'm going to reverse order. Gary, you get left to the last. I'm going to start with you, and we'll work around the other way.
Well, first of all, the dual enrollment presentation I thought was really great, and it's exciting to see the outcomes that we do get from that and the way it has grown. And obviously, there's opportunities, you know, for further growth with that, but just the impact that it has on students and the expenditures that they have to make to get their degree is incredible. Plus, I love the fact that ATC programs too are looping into that, you know, as well. So that's real exciting. Also, too, just looking at all those facility jobs that we've got out there. Alan, God bless you. and then you throw in a couple of hurricanes that sideswipe us and the side effects that we get from those things and on our buildings and so forth. So just want to say thank you to all of our facilities teams for what they're doing out there when it comes to this, because I remember driving by our campus Palm Coast about a week or so ago and still seeing standing water in places that you don't normally see standing water. And so thank you for everything. And as always, what a great honor it is to be part of this board and the leadership time that you and your team provide us and all of the students and the staff. It's just every month, day in, day out, it's incredible. So thank you.
Well, I echo everything Bob said about the storm, and I'm going to echo Gary on the dual enrollment presentation today and facilities. Of course, it's awesome being a part of this board. Also wanted to note the 8% enrollment increase is outstanding. It feels like, I mean, so many things have to be engaged in happening and collaborating to make that happen, and I think that's a testament to kind of what Gary was talking about, just everyone doing an outstanding job. I do want to circle back to the press conference with the governor about nursing. We had the students, Daytona State College student speak at this, and it was just the highlight for everyone. We're still talking about it at Halifax. She also works for us. But, you know, it was just such a proud moment with the governor standing there, and he was here for quite some time, and so we've been so proud of that program. And I really do, I look forward to Boots and Bling tomorrow. There's a lot of discussion amongst my table about what everyone's wearing, so I know that's always so interesting to me. We're just really looking forward to it. I'm glad we're doing it for the hurricane relief.
Thanks.
Again, very much.
I don't have too much to say, Tom. Just great to be here and to hear all the wonderful things that this institution is doing for students. And I'm so happy that the women's golf team won the tournament. And like I said, I'm supposed to be playing in a tournament on Saturday. I'm definitely going to wear the shirt.
There you go.
I know the women's soccer team is about ready. Did they win last night?
So yeah, so the women's soccer team finished regular Region 8 champs. So they will host throughout the tournament.
Wonderful.
And the men actually went down and beat Miami-Dade, who was undefeated. And so they're the number 2 seed. So they'll host the first playoff game on. So it'll be two games, a doubleheader on Friday, and then we're the host site. So we'll host the finals, and hopefully our women will take care of business.
Not this Friday, the following.
This Friday.
Oh, this Friday.
This Friday is the I think it's the women first and the men.
Okay.
And then if our men win, they got to travel to Miami because they're the region champs for that game. And then women take care of business on Friday. We'll be hosting the Region 8 Championship here on Sunday night at 7.
Doubleheader on Friday.
Doubleheader on Friday. Women home here Sunday. Yeah.
I know it's a long walk up to your suite, but I'll be there.
Yes. Yeah. And you're all welcome to come. And if you haven't been to a game, they're pretty excited. I won't be here Friday night. I'm road tripping to see my son in Pensacola, but I will make it for the
Sunday.
I told the girls to take care of business on Friday because I will be here on Sunday to watch them play.
Okay, I'll be here for you on Friday.
All right.
And it's just wonderful to come to the games and see how great this institution is doing. Up 8%. I mean, right after all the turmoil and COVID and all that, we're doing excellent. And keep up a good job.
Thanks.
Great day to be a Falcon.
I
stole you.
You did. Yeah. Took it away. Lloyd. I was, of course, Kelly took the first one, which is the 8% enrollment. And but I think that's just it's worth noting over and over and over again. Terrific stuff. I hope that we never get tired of. I don't get tired of seeing the academic and athletic awards that the college gets, you know. And when I think about it, it's not just about the award, but it's about the overall college experience. You know, I remember seeing this institution when I first came to town, 1976, for a visit. I would never have even thought that there would be athletics and would grow into something like this. So. I think it's very exciting, and of course I don't mind the fact that it was a golf national championship again, so that doesn't hurt my feelings at all.
Yeah.
The other thing, as I was sitting here, and of course Lloyd mentioned it, you know, there are organizations out there that still refer to COVID as a reason for not succeeding or for not excelling. This one, under your leadership, has been able to put COVID so far in the rearview mirror, it feels like an ancient history discussion. So I just want to commend all of you, because it doesn't feel, in this space, like it's relevant. There's a lot of other places where people, it does feel relevant. Mm-hmm. So congratulations.
Excellent.
And go Falcons.
You know, I left off, and before we adjourn, there are board development opportunities. You have some materials, and if you choose to avail yourselves of those, I think Betty Holness would be very proud of each and every one of us. And with that, we are adjourned.